from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
It is the G and Ursula Show. Happy Fresh Fridays to all of you. Ursula is out. Spike O'Neill is in for Ursula. Good morning to you.
Good morning, G. What a morning we're having.
It is. So, you guys, during the break, you guys said that the search warrant's out. Can you please explain what you guys saw? I'm not there.
That's okay. What we're seeing on, and this is on the cable news channels, we're monitoring both sides of the aisle for cable news coverage to see if we get a nice balanced report on what's been found. Apparently, the G, your point this morning about how Trump was going to play the I wish I could, my attorneys tell me I can't card, didn't bear to be. I think you're right about Merrick Garland calling Trump's bluff. And this information is out. Not just the search warrant is out, but also a list of what was taken and are found and removed from Mar-a-Lago. And we've got initial reports. I'm sure the Cairo newsroom will give us in-depth coverage as quickly as is responsibly possible to do so. But what I can tell you they're leading with is 11 sets of classified documents were recovered from Mar-a-Lago, and some designated as classified top secret. And that's the kind of stuff that's the criminality of all this, or the potential criminality of all this. I should frame this in alleged and potential in the whole nine yards. I want to be fair. I want to be accurate. Though having those type of documents outside the confines of secure settings of Pennsylvania Avenue, that's where the danger of this lies. That's what makes these information susceptible to being compromised, to being available to people who shouldn't see these. You know, when the Federal Archives went to Mar-a-Lago in February, they removed 15 boxes of contents, materials that were belonging to the American people as per the Presidential Records Act. They then got, by all accounts, and these are just news accounts, but they've been covered on numerous stations. By all accounts, there was an informant that let the Department of Justice know there was more things at Mar-a-Lago, and some of them may be classified. Some of them reported in an anonymous tip were classified. Then a subpoena was issued to the Trump's legal representation, Trump's team of lawyers. That was in June. A subpoena was said, we need these. These are not supposed to be in possession of a private citizen, and that's what a former president is. There's a subpoena. That was not responded to. In a timely fashion, the Department of Justice went through all the proper channels to obtain a search warrant, go through a grand jury, present to a federal judge, issued a search warrant, and what was recovered. There's, of course, the kind of stuff you'd expect to be there, photo albums. Trump's a show-off by nature. That's impossible to argue. I imagine some of these things were just, hey, here's me and the president and whomever. Here's me and Putin. Here's me and whomever. You know, and that's great. What a great memory to have. There was also, according to reports on the cable television, of a handwritten letter regarding the clemency request for Roger Stone, who you remember was convicted by the Department of Justice and then given pardoned by Donald Trump prior to his leaving office. But the headline is 11 sets of classified documents, some designated top secret, that were recovered in the exercised a search warrant from Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump's home in Florida, on Monday night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for letting everyone know that news. And then we will, as the story continues to develop, we will bring you that news. And before we get to agree to disagree, actor Anne Heche has died a week after the car crash. She was 53 years old. As you guys know, she's the actress that starred in films such as Donnie Brasco, Catfight. And she was also in the remake of Psycho. And she did not regain consciousness after a crash that happened on August 5th. You also know that Anne Heche was also in a high profile relationship with sitcom star and talk show host Ellen DeGeneres. So Anne Heche has passed away at the age of 53. But right now, let's get to Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Garden Roofing and Gutters.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves, just really go at it.
So here locally, Snohomish County is about to approve the sale of a Days Inn for conversion into bridge housing for the homeless. The county council wants to make it a requirement to enroll in drug treatment programs if you want to stay there and be a part of this housing. Spike, is this a good move on Snohomish's part? Should all homeless housing incorporate this as a requirement?
I think it's a wonderful move. I heard actually John Curley during the John and Sherry show yesterday say that, you know, bridge housing for the those experiencing homelessness is a fine step in the right direction, but only part of a comprehensive solution. There needed to be accountability. A temporary housing situation shouldn't be just a warm bed to flop into and continue the patterns that led you or caused you to find yourself homeless or living on the streets. And it's, you know, treatment facilities should be, treatment services should be available, made available. And in fact, we're finding out they're required to have these for occupancy in this bridge housing. I think it's fantastic.
I think it's fantastic, too. And I think that as more and more we're going to start seeing situations where it being a requirement to get in drug treatment, because I think drug treatment is important for some of those that are out there that are on drugs really bad, chronically homeless, and they do need the help. And it also points to just how complex the issue of homelessness is. It's real easy for me to talk about the homelessness crisis. It's really easy for me to sit there and say what our leaders are doing and not doing and all of those things. But I do know this. Everyone that I know that works around or with the homeless population tell me just how complex it is. And it's not easy. It is not easy because sometimes the start is cool, but let's be real. It takes longer than 30, 60, 90 days. Sometimes it takes anywhere from a year. So there's so much to it. So the continuation of treatment and or help is something that I love to see in here.
Hard to find disagreement on a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad.
So New York has amended several laws to remove the word inmate and replace it with incarcerated person to refer to people serving prison time. New York's governor, Kathy Hochul, says these changes are intended to reduce the stigma of being in jail. Prison reform advocates have said the term inmate has a dehumanizing effect, and prisoners say it can feel degrading when jail guards refer to them as inmates, especially in front of their families during in-person visits. Gee, are you going to stop saying inmate?
Don't bite your tongue off. Don't do it.
I just want to say, hold on, before I answer this, I just want to say that there's some questions that I get asked on the air, and I'm like, ooh, I wish I wasn't asked that. And the reason why is because I have to tell the truth. And in this story, in this question right here, the question you just asked me was this, gee, are you going to stop saying inmate? And the answer to your question, nope, I'm not. Now, I'm not calling them out of their name. They're an inmate. They're in jail. I don't know what to say. If you want me to go ahead and what do you want us to call them? Real quick, what do they want us to call them?
Person experiencing incarceration, I believe.
Incarcerated person.
Incarcerated person. Is that any better than an inmate? What is the difference? No. Hear me out. What is the real difference between inmate and incarcerated person? You want a fancy term for it? You're in jail, player. And by the way, we call them all kinds of things, not on the air and things like that. Oh, maybe you sitting down or whatever. No, I'm not changing, Spike. Sorry.
You know what? I can understand the value and the necessity.
Yeah. For
I don't even know the right word anymore. I'm afraid to use the words. When a prisoner is taken to court, they won't have them in an orange jumpsuit because it can prejudice a jury. I mean, at least they didn't have, you know, Bill Blast or Brooks Brothers step up and design a nice orange single-breasted tight-fitting suit for them to wear into court to feel better about themselves. I get why it's important to not prejudice a jury, but you're in the joint, man. You are locked down. You're an inmate. You done mm-hmmed up. You did. And to your point about words, and the onus is words have power, you know? I can't wait to hear how many times the word incarcerated person is weaponized and used against the residents of a correction facility.
I'm afraid. I'm afraid for my radio career.
I mean, it's like
I'm afraid. Hey, Nick, you and the Gen Z population, are you guys really going to go off on me for continuing? Because to be honest with you, Nick, mm-hmm. I actually like the sound of inmate over incarcerated person.
I do too.
Much more volatile. Incarcerated person.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? And if you're somebody who's like, gee, you know what? I want to be called incarcerated person. I got an idea. How about you not go to jail and not be called any of those things?
Okay, Captain Shackles.
I'm trying to run it through my head. Would you rather have to go door to door telling people I'm an incarcerated person, or would you rather say I'm an inmate? I feel like it's a little more slick to say
inmate.
Well,
I hope you can say the word was when you're going door to door.
That's true.
At least.
Very true.
Yeah. All right.
So, a new dating app for conservatives called The Right Stuff, get it, will launch next month. It's backed by conservative tech billionaire Peter Thiel. They say they're seeking to open a new door for the political right, who hope to find more like-minded people in the romantic world. It's a free app, but it can be accessed by invite only. Spike, should dating apps be politically segregated?
You know, my wife has a thing that she likes to say about when you see a couple out and they're having a difficult evening, and he's being short and curt, and she's being dismissive or you know, diminishing with the words. And you see another couple, and they're just having a bad night. Mm-hmm. My wife likes to say they are saving the world from each other. It's okay. They belong together. They really are. That little toxic circle is not spreading out into other innocent people. I think this app can be the same thing. It can keep people of like-minded worlds who, you know, We talked earlier about how isolation kind of gets in your head and you kind of calcify in your points of view. From that perspective, I see that this could be take us more in the wrong direction of division. But at this point in time, you know what? You go have a date night, popcorn, Fox News, have a blast.
Okay, so I saw this. Was it Keely McEnany's sister that was promoting it? I saw it the other day. And Chris, I purposely didn't send this to you. Is because, like, everybody's, oh, I can't believe they're making a site that is just for folks that want to just be like-minded, and those on the right, they want to do that. And I really found myself, and the reason why I didn't send it to you, Chris, because I don't really see the problem with it. Like, for an example, I don't know who you're dating. I don't know what your tastes are. I don't know the parameters that you have on who you want to marry and who you want to date. But who am I to judge somebody for having people, the type of people that they want to date? So for an example, you might say, hey, you know what? If I'm going to date, I'm going to date somebody that makes this much money. Why do sometimes we demonize someone that says that they only want to date somebody that makes a certain level of money, or they only want to date someone? Like, yo, that's the problem in our country. Leave people alone. If they want to date who they want to date, that's on them. You can't, on one hand, be discouraged about a dating site in this thing, and then on another hand, be okay with a dating site that is, let's say, a dating site is only for LGBTQ community, or dating site for where black folks can go and date. Like, I just didn't see the problem. So, Spike, I didn't mean to give the long answer.
No, dude. I think you're right on. What are you going to go to Farmers Only and tell them they got to learn how to break dance? Some people are comfortable around people who like the same things. That's great.
I'm a Christian mingle.
Go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I hear you. You don't want to come to the goat bleeding with me? Me? What?
So, actor and comedian Steve Martin has had an incredible career. In the last year, he's even been part of a hit show on Hulu called Only Murders in the Building.
Yeah.
He told The Hollywood Reporter that he wants to wind it down and retire. When you actually read the article, it sounds like he might not really retire. But, gee, is there something to be said for going out on top? Do you think that's the best way to live it?
Yeah. I actually have a lot of respect for those that go out on top. Because the vast majority of people do not do that. I'll just take football, considering I'm around a lot of NFL. I've been around the game for nearly 20 years. The majority of football players do not go out on top. The majority of them get kicked out. The majority of them get told, no, we don't want you anymore. very few. I'll give an example. Brandon Mebane, who was a Seattle Seahawk, he ended his career with the Chargers. He had an opportunity to play for $7 million for the next year, and he decided to leave and walk away from the game. Doug Baldwin is another one that kind of left the game on top. There's a lot to be said with leaving on top. As for me, I don't think I could. I think I want to go until the wheels fall off, until I'm kicked off. What do you got, Spike?
First off, I have no perspective on the story because I've never been on top. I think it's wonderful that Steve Martin is able to, like you said, make the decision for himself. You know, it's hard work doing what they do. I know the great ones in whatever field they're in make it look easy, but it's not. It's a grinding, grueling, cutthroat profession to be in professional entertainment. And if you reach a comfort level in your, and a, not just a comfort level of monetary compensation, but a comfort level in that you've shown the world your capabilities, what your skills or your talents are. You've been able to show everything you got. And Steve Martin has been working a long time. I remember when Steve Martin had red hair playing a banjo.
Wow.
I mean, that's, Steve Martin's been going to, I don't know if you ever read his book. It's a wonderful memoir. Steve Martin, as a little kid, used to do magic tricks and play music at Knoxbury Farm when he was a teenager. He's been at it for a long, long, long time.
Wow.
He deserves the right to decide when to say when. And there's nothing worse than being told by your profession, and this I do have perspective on, that it's time to go home. There is, and you know you still got gas in the tank. There is nothing worse than that.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, Chris Martin, you like doing this agree to disagree. You like setting it up, huh?
Yeah, it's... Whoops, sorry. I was checking a button there. Yeah, it's super fun to do.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, sometimes 11:30 is like this segment that... how can I say this? That we really don't pay attention to on this show, and we kind of make fun of each other for doing that. But I do know what we're talking about at 11:30. We're going to be talking about the Seahawks. Check this out. The Seahawks are predicted to have a very slump year. Are you one of those that believe, yeah, I actually think they're not going to have a good year? Well, we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about their first preseason game that happens tomorrow in Pittsburgh. All that next, Gene Ursula with Spike O'Neill. Funky Town, Spike O'Neill. It is the G and Ursula Show with Spike filling in for Ursula. The Seattle Seahawks are predicted to have, you can call it what you want to, a down year, slump year, difficult year. All of the, quote, experts are saying those things. As a matter of fact, the fantasy sports folks, they're saying that this season, out of all the 32 NFL teams, the Seattle Seahawks, right now, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, have the third lowest odds of winning the Super Bowl this season. The Denver Broncos, they have the ninth most likely chance of winning the Super Bowl. Spike O'Neill, there are some that even rank the Seattle Seahawks at number 32 out of 32 teams in the NFL. Let's have a honest discussion. Full disclaimer. Not only am I a Seahawk fan, the Seahawks are responsible for changing my life. So I just want to tell you, as we talk about this, there's part of me that's a little biased, but I'm going to try to do my best to tell the truth about the Seahawks. What do you got?
I think it's an honest assessment of where they're at. And I think it's going to be a reality check for Seahawk fans who think that you can replace a guy like Russell Wilson. You can feel how you want to about his legacy in Seattle, about moving on to another team. So many of our legendary great players moved on. Griffey moved on to Cincinnati. I full disclosure, I got a Cincinnati Reds logo tattooed on my butt because when I was young and dumb in radio, I said on the air, Griffey's never leaving this town. This is home for the kid. He's the face of the franchise. If he leaves, I'll put whatever team he goes to on my ass. And so right now, today, this day, I have a small Cincinnati Reds, Red Sea, on my buttocks. So that being said, nobody stays anymore. Lifetime players with one team have become an abnormality. It's the outlier. Mm. You know. So that being said, we don't even know who our starting quarterback's going to be. And maybe Geno, maybe Drew, he'll be a quality player. He's not going to be Russell Wilson. Bobby Wagner's going to be wearing the Rams colors this fall. That to me hurts worse than Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, and last thing I'll say about Russell, is he knew that we couldn't win a Super Bowl with the salary structure he demands at this juncture of his career. He's earned that money, but the places where a quarterback can earn the money they deserve and still build a championship caliber team are also as rare in the NFL. You got to look at Green Bay, got to look at Tampa. It's hard to do. If you look back at the track record of Super Bowl champions, most of them have won with quarterbacks that were just, you know, maintenance quarterbacks or guys in their first contract. So all that being said, we're left with we're in a rebuild. Any way, shape, or form, we're in a rebuild. Yeah. I have faith in John and Pete. I have a feeling that any rebuild this team goes through under this current leadership structure isn't going to take long. We're not going to be the Cleveland Browns. We're not going to be the you know, well, you pick a team that just hasn't climbed the hump yet. Jaguars, Jets, you name it. Pete and John know how to build a winner. They know how to motivate players and find the best talent available with the resources they have. But it's a down year.
206 says, gee, it's going to be a long, difficult season to be a Seahawks fan. Paul in DuPont says, I think the Seahawks are going to be very bad this year. Okay, defense, horrible offense. With that said, I hope they are too. I didn't get a chance to read the rest because they cut off. All right. So let me say this. I want to go to the one point about Russell Wilson as the quarterback. No doubt about it. It's going to be tough to replace Russell Wilson here in Seattle, especially the year right after. No, tough, no doubt about it. It's like replacing the ex-boyfriend the day later. Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight. But just because Russell Wilson is going to the Denver Broncos, that doesn't mean immediate success for them, because I don't think the Denver Broncos are going to make the playoffs. So then there's that. Now, when it comes to this Seahawks team right here, I think that a lot of our opinions, including mine, we judge the Seahawks based on a higher expectation. It's fair to say that the Seahawks have made the bar, the expectation, very high in this town. We expect Super Bowl. We expect deep into the playoffs because of what they have done the last 10 years. It's been a great run. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I think the Seahawks are going to be undefeated. I'm not saying that. I am even going to be honest with you in saying I do think it's going to be a very bumpy road for the Seahawks. Do I think that they're going to be the 32nd best team in the NFL? No, that's disrespectful to Pete and what he does for this team. I think they're going to, how about this? I think they're going to be better than some of you think. And I think that tomorrow's Pittsburgh game, that's right, the Seahawks play against the Pittsburgh Steelers for preseason game number one. Before in the past, it was, oh, it's just preseason. Oh, no. This is a very important game. This is an opportunity for you guys to see who will be the next man up. This is an opportunity to see Geno Smith and Drew Locke as quarterback, as there is a quarterback competition. No disrespect to Skinny, Jacob Eason, who's homegrown from here, Lake Stevens.
I'd like to see that kid play well.
I want to give them some love. No doubt about it. And he has an opportunity as well. So it's going to be a bumpy ride, because you just don't replace. Not only do you not have Russell Wilson, who was a leader on the team, you also don't have Dwayne Brown, who was a leader on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And make no mistake about it, Bobby Wagner, oh, not having him on defense, and not just what they can do physically on the field. Sometimes it's just about that confidence. So with all that said, 17-game regular season, it's going to be a lot of ups and downs, but there's one thing I'm going to call right now. The Seahawks win game one against the Denver Broncos at home on Monday night. How about that?
I was going to ask you for a win total, but that's so pedestrian for you to make a statement like that.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. I made a deal with the Lord. I'm not a very religious person, but I made a deal with the Lord in my early 20s never to gamble again. And as the words left my lips, I won the bet, literally.
Right.
I'm not lying. So I don't gamble, but okay. So I can't make a bet with you on that first game.
Okay, real quick, can we go back to the Cincinnati Reds on your bum? I mean,
well, if we have to,
I mean,
hey, you know what? I have said some stupid stuff on the air. I've made some stupid bets on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But I live up to my word, and I said on the air, if Junior ever leaves his team, I'll get whatever team he goes to tattooed.
Does your wife know about it?
She see me naked. We've been married. Yes, she does. Yes, she does. So that's not the most embarrassing thing that's happened to me on air that my wife has seen.
Okay, go ahead.
I made a bet with the with a rock jock from Lincoln, Nebraska, when the Huskies in the early 90s were having a great run and they were playing the Cornhuskers. We had beaten the Huskers in Lincoln, and they were coming to Seattle. And I made a bet with a guy from the Blaze in Lincoln that if the Huskies lost to the Cornhuskers, I would shave every hair off my body. And we lost. And I did. On air.
Tell me there's pictures. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. There's a picture of me walking up and down Frat Row with a sandwich board of the score of the game, me bald as the day I was born, and socks and shoes, and a cigar. Yes, I live up to my word. But let me say one final thing about the Seahawks in 2022.
What do you got?
We can talk about Marshawn more in depth at another time. I know the Seahawks also didn't think it was going to be their best year. They had signed Marshawn to do special projects with the team because they know the product off the field and the product in the community. That's where their strengths are, and that's what they have to divert some attention to. I hope Marshawn's situation plays out to the very best of all those involved. But this is the point I want to make. We will have the best-looking cheerleaders in Seahawk history this year because the Seahawks know it's a package out there at Lumen Field. And the Seahawk cheerleaders are part of that package. It's going to be a banner year for sideline entertainment at Lumen Field.
Hey, Spike.
Yeah.
It's Seahawks dancers now.
Oh, my apologies. I told you, I'm old. You should see my white guy dance. For me, there'll always be cheerleaders. I know the Seahawk dancers, and I'm still not comfortable with the male dancers. I like college guys who throw women in the air. You know, I love that part of cheerleading.
Wait a minute. Why are you not comfortable with male dancers? Are you trying to say Michael Jackson couldn't dance? Are you saying that Chris Brown couldn't dance? Men can dance, bro. Not just white dads with the biting maybe, of the lip.
Maybe it is jealousy on their natural abilities, which are clearly on display, that I have a problem with. I think you've gotten to the root.
You just want to show them how it's done, don't
no,
you,
No, I don't. No, hey, nobody wants that, Nick.
Hey, coming up next, your text, your feedback. Then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. Gene Ursula with Spike O'Neill. It's Gene Ursula, everybody. Happy Fresh Fridays. Spike O'Neill has been filling in for Ursula. What an amazing job he does.
I appreciate
that. I've learned some things about Spike today. One, he has a Cincinnati Reds tattoo on his bum. And two, he lost a bet in which he ended up walking down the street with a cigar in his mouth, fully shaved all over his body with a sandwich board. Right? Did I get that right?
Yes, he did. Although I will clarify, I did leave the eyebrows. I didn't think it was worth that. I didn't want to scare the kids. It was already terrifying enough.
All right. Man, I can only imagine. But you're still that fun today, aren't you, Spike?
I try to be. I love what we do, what we get to do. Yeah. I love that people care about what we do, whether we agree with them or disagree with them. They care, and that's a treasure, man.
It really is a treasure. Let's get to the text messages. Stop using the word inmate. You're supposed to say incarcerated persons. 206 says, isn't the word inmate supposed to have negative connotations? Isn't that the point?
From the 253, I thought the whole process of prison was to break you down so you can learn from the experience and come out wanting to be a better person.
253 says, do you think the inmates really care? Ridiculous.
Wow, that's what a take. How about the Seahawks this year from the 253? I hope the Hawks have another bad year. Another bad year?
What?
I work at a bar. When the Hawks are bad, business is slow and steady. But when the Hawks are good, it's like apocalypse now.
Wait a minute. I'm confused.
It's a bartender who doesn't want to get in the weeds and be overworked and run like crazy and make a lot of money. Oh, what a horrible event.
On opening your life up to other people and not just be in your own head. Susan says, the most enriching time of my life was living in Lagos, Nigeria for 4 years and being able to travel the world.
Incredible, valuable experience. Luca says, I used to have a sales job where I drove up to Bellingham and all the way down to Portland throughout the month. I miss meeting so many new people every day. It really made me feel human.
Brian says, I'm doing more customer service at my job now. I've been here for 20 years and never done customer service. At first, I was terrified, but now it's so delightful. I really can't explain it, but it's making me more outgoing. I'm becoming more and more of an extrovert, and I like it.
Catherine says, everyone needs to travel abroad and experience another culture. When I was 8 years old, my family went to Poland while it was still under the Iron Curtain. That profoundly affected how I see the world ever since. What a gift.
Dipping into savings. Brian says, it's true. I've had to dip into savings a few times. I used to be able to live on a set amount that I would set aside as spending money every check. Lately, I've had to take a little out of savings, but just a budget to get by. Inflation is a real deal.
206, I've had to use savings for added gas and food costs. Plus, it's really rough. I've had to reduce my 401k contributions to have enough money to live on.
425 says, what savings, G? I live paycheck to paycheck because of high rent. Wish I had savings.
A lot of people are experiencing that. A lot of texts to that nature. Snohomish homeless need to sign up for drug treatment programs. Nick says, so there's a requirement for them to be in treatment. Won't that just lead to more people refusing the service and continue to shoot up in alleyways? Well, Nick, I got to tell you, having the homeless or having folks experiencing homelessness even seek help can be a challenge because so many of that community are experiencing addiction.
And some people that are experiencing addiction, some of them, a lot of them, they want help.
They do. A lot do want help, but too far too many don't.
Harborview can't accept non-emergency patients. 206 says, why was there never a push to build more hospitals? We've had this situation for over 3 years now.
True. J.O. says, it's not just the pandemic. Let's not forget that the baby boomers are not working as much anymore and are aging. We always knew that would strain the workforce.
That's true. 425, not surprising that part of the healthcare worker shortage, vaccine mandates, was not mentioned.
Oh, well, I think we're running out of time. I want to save time for Nick, right? Is this Words to Live By?
Yeah.
Who's it from? Who brings this Words to Live By?
Just Wilcox Farm. Words to Live By, brought to you by Wilcox Farms.
I want to pay honor where honor is due. Thank you, Wilcox Farms. My words to live by today are something that I've used in my own family numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this last night. There was a story from, you know who M.A. Vopel is? ESPN reporter?
Oh, yeah. He just, yes.
Thank you. He just came out. Michelle Vopel has worked for him for a long time. M.A. is transitioning, now identifies as he, him. And ESPN welcomes this very talented reporter as part of their, a continuing part of their ESPN family. So my words to live by are from the great Oscar Wilde, Irish poet. Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. I've told my daughters that throughout both of their lives as they've struggled to find their place in their friendship circles, their schools, whatever.
Yes.
You know what? Don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't try to impress anybody. Be yourself. Everybody else is already taken.
Love it. Nick, what do you got?
Well, I didn't know it was how opportune this chance for cheaper gas is, folks, being in that Gen X category these days. Caught me off guard finding out those folks are tapping into the savings more recently. Now I know there's inflation, maybe kids in the mix, rent, a mortgage, and other bills that causes it. But if you have savings and I'm catching you buying, I don't know, Louis Vuitton bags or Toblerone bars in bulk, don't look at me when you got the handout asking for the advance payment now.
He constantly borrows.
Now, Spike, I know you love that Mr. Bruce Springsteen, and he's coming to town. Go easy on the top-tier seats. Unless maybe you want to get a tattoo of the bus where the sun don't shine. Maybe shave your head. I'll throw you a few bucks over there, buddy.
You're a good man, Nick.
Nick, I love it what you do. Mm-hmm. All right. A huge happy 59th birthday to Sir Mix-a-Lot. Want to give him his love. He's 59 years old today. Great songs. What a treasure. Hey, we do this again tomorrow, on Monday. Hey, thank you, Chris. Thank you, Nick. And, of course, thank you, Spike O'Neill. Appreciate you.
Thank you,
and appreciate
Jake.
All of you. The Dory Monster Show comes up next. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. And make sure, be kind.
Hope you have as much fun as we have. So long, everybody.
Your aching hammer can't be found.